The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the show with the three amigos, Hotman, Crowder, and Solana on FM radio. Them boys be sliding, so we riding and we ready to go. 100,000 watts, full throttle, baby, ready to blow. We passing Boca on to Jupiter, we got your attention. You can tune in anywhere, but listen at your discretion. To the legend, Mr. Hotman, can't stop from each other, Deuce. My brother got his own hot burger at Tucker Deuce. Now my rush more of these sports, spitting the truth. It's Channing Crowder, greatest Dolphin, to rock the 52. Solana one, best of Miami, the voice of FIU. We reppin' to Miami, the Heat and the Panthers too. We reppin' for the Marlins, the Dolphins, that's how we do. We reppin' for the Crips, so it's always about the U. Hey Jimmy, please get a bell on the phone and tell him that it's home. I finally got his name on the song. Can't do him wrong, cause it sounds so sweet. You speak the facts while I keep the crowd on their feet. Football season be the reason that I be bringing this heat. Georgia music representing 104.3. Hey,
welcome to the show. Here we go. A lot of people on the chat already. They're jumping on Jimmy. Jimmy, let's go. Fix it, dude. All that stuff. And it's not Jimmy's fault. We're coming on the air here at 2:06 because the Tobin Show went, I guess, 6 minutes late. I've got to know. Oh, we just lost Crowder, too. Crowder's in a hotel room in Fort Myers. I got to know, what was Tobin and Leroy and who else was on the show today? Brittany, Jay Fig?
Vlad was there today.
What were they talking about that prevented us from starting on time?
It was a replay. They're interviewing two MMA fighters.
I got you. The whole show was a replay today?
No. Just the last segment.
Oh. Well, still, you could have just told me what they were talking about. You didn't have to mention that it was a replay. You could have just said they were talking to an MMA fighter.
No, they're promoting UFC.
No, I got you. Where are we lost here? I said, what were they talking about that prevented us from getting on the air on time? And you said they were in a replay, which led me to believe that it was a replayed show. But I was curious what they were talking about.
I don't know. all I heard was that they're promoting a UFC event. That's all I heard.
Well, then, no, that's the answer. You got it, Jimmy. You have the answer. I don't know why you're backpedaling. They were talking to an MMA fighter. It's
fighters.
Like that's direct and succinct.
Yeah.
I don't understand what happened there. All I said was, what were they talking about that prevented us from getting on the air on time? And I don't know why you're backpedaling. They were talking to an MMA fighter. Is that correct?
Yes, fighters, because they did two separate okay. replays. Yeah.
All right. Separate replays?
Yeah, in the same segment.
What's going on here, Solana? How have I entered this treasure map that seemingly has no treasure?
Yeah, I think Jimmy, the answer here was they were talking to MMA fighters. They went a little long because perhaps math isn't their strong suit, and because of that, Hawk, it's now 2:08.
All right, fair enough. I think we've really gotten to the bottom. I'm not certain that we have. The Marlins, I mean, I don't know what's going on here, but they keep winning.
We're playing it's ball, like, son.
This doesn't happen. This doesn't happen to teams like this. This happens to the Yankees and the Dodgers. This happens to teams that have billion-dollar payrolls. Mm-hmm. This doesn't happen to this team. So I am delighted. Like, you turn them on at night, whether you're listening on the radio or watching TV, and it's just everything's going right. Just fun.
Seen the Mighty Ducks?
He doesn't sound like he's connected to me now. Does he sound connected to you?
I'm not connected. Bad news bears. I'm not connected.
Yeah, you're just your microphone is down by your nipples. So you might wanna figure out how to get it closer to the mouth.
You're a fan of my nipples. Let me
Yeah, you're right. When you've been down there, yeah. Now I can hear you better.
It's better now.
Yeah. You want to maybe do like Solana, who's doing the whole show handheld today.
He's going to say some goofy stuff when he does. Every time he does the show handheld, he goes goofball.
There's something different.
You feel
about,
like you're doing a wedding toast, right? Right. You feel like you've got the floor.
I've got the floor. There's something unique. There's something interesting about doing the show holding a microphone that I happen to love. I really do.
Today is National French Fry Day. Jimmy's in a little bit of a French fry coma. Maybe that's where the little hiccup comes from at the beginning of the show. You had plenty of French fries before the show?
Yes, got a large fry.
Got a large fry at McDonald's, so he's almost got the McDonald's colors working too. We have a game today at 3? We have a game today. Yep. Could have been USA, right?
Could have been USA playing España. Jimmy's rocking his Spain jersey, but instead Belgium, who deserves it, by the way, deserves it. Yeah. They dominated. It'll be Spain, Belgium at 3. The winner will play France on Tuesday of next week during our show, by the way, which will be fun. And then you've got two games tomorrow as well, one of them being played here in Miami.
So today, one of the things that I wanted to do was have a little Hockman, Crowder, and Solana telethon. Hmm. Huh? Solana told me that the podcast numbers fell off. This was like a year ago, year and a half ago, right? Didn't we do something different to the podcast?
Yeah, I don't think we did anything different. I think there was a change in our software back in the studios from one software that we were using to upload. It was called Omni, and now we're using something that Odyssey owns. And for whatever reason, when that switch was made internally, it put a dramatic blow into our numbers, which, you know, we were hitting 2-3 million downloads a year, which is great for a local radio show. And for whatever reason, that's been cut in almost half.
Right, so we want to get those back. And so I was going to ask you throughout the show today, hey, just double check, make sure you're subscribed to the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana podcast. Make sure you're set up for downloads. Make sure that you're set up to be an active member of our community. We don't ask too much of you, I don't think. Solana's going to be out. You're going to be out somewhere tomorrow. I was going to say, we don't ask too much of you. Every now and then, we've got an appearance somewhere. We ask you to show up there. Where are you tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the casino at Dania Beach. They have this Fan Zone 305 that's going to be set up tomorrow. And the best part is that it's free admission, free parking. All ages are welcome. There's more info at casinodaniabeach.com. But it's for the World Cup game tomorrow that's at 5 o'clock. So, awesome. Yeah.
It's
so
nice out there.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I love it out there. I told him to go to cool Jackson's out there. Right afterwards, but he doesn't want to go to Jackson's.
Yeah, I'm good.
Right there.
Good.
Daniel Beach Boulevard. That's my bait shop. I know the owner, Rick, right there. The bait shop
big
up the
fishing
street.
Area right there. Yeah. Got a lot of antiquing over there. But most importantly, they've got Jackson's over there.
Maybe I'll stop and get some bait before I hit up.
Get some Jackson. Stop and get the kitchen sink, man. I don't get any bait.
Go to Anglers. Rick is a great
go to
dude.
Anglers. Go to Jackson's. But anyway, we don't ask you to do a ton. Every now and today we'll do like a telethon. You can get your Crowder powder. You can we'll do the whole thing of where we're looking for support. But we're really looking for support on the podcast. The podcast is available on the Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn app, Apple Podcasts. So wherever you get your podcast, just double check at some point during the show today. Hey, am I subscribed to Hockman, Crowder, and Solana? Am I set up for automatic downloads? Just make sure that you're kind of an active part of our family. We would appreciate it.
All right. Being here on the West Coast, I use the Odyssey app to listen. I listen to Joe today.
Very good app.
And them. Odyssey app is amazing.
Yeah, it's a very good app. So you can do it through there. And if you haven't downloaded it yet, just go to the App Store. It's AUDACY. So today on the show, not only is it National French Fry Day, Jack McMullen, Marlins radio broadcaster, he's going to join us. Lee Sterling is going to join us. He's got some winners for the Conor McGregor UFC fight card tomorrow night. Be heavily watched, I would imagine. I think
Conor McGregor is going to last maybe 40 seconds. That's my own personal opinion.
You heard Conor about to get his ass whooped.
Feels like he's headed in that direction. Let's start today with headlines. And Alejandro Solana, it's brought to you by Doral Kia in Miami. At a Domino's game, you'll always find your abuelito. And when you want a low price, you save with your pricito. Save now with your pricito at Doral Kia.
So, gentlemen, it is Friday, and LeBron James has not made his decision. And it sounds to me, if you believe Rich Paul for his word earlier this morning, like he hasn't made a decision, like he's still kind of mulling over several different options. But I did find it interesting today that several members of the national media, including Brian Windhorst, alluded to Miami as being this fascinating, interesting story for LeBron James. That's something they hadn't been doing for a while. We've been
hedging their bets.
Yes. Yep. Yes. We've been doing it locally. Hawk and I spent about 15 minutes yesterday to start the show talking about why Miami is not only the best basketball fit, but also a great storyline for LeBron to come here and kind of maybe end his Heat tenure in a much better way than he did in 2014 previously. And today, that's exactly what Brian Windhorst said on ESPN when he was on Get Up. And I've seen it from two or three other national writers as well, where they're like, hey, what about Miami? Why not? Why aren't we talking about Miami more? Interesting.
It was probably the worst finish of all the stops that he's made, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
LA wasn't it wasn't a contentious finish. Yeah. It just petered out. And they obviously were moving on to a team led by Luka. So it was kind of a natural end for LeBron. There was no acrimony. Although I guess the first end in Cleveland was the worst finish, but he went back and corrected that already. And right. So the notion, what Brian Windhorst was trying to say today was essentially, hey, if he's got one faulty finish that he needs to go back and mend, Miami really fits that bill.
Mend it for who? For Pat? For us?
Yeah, maybe. Heat fans.
I just don't think he can. I think Cleveland is the obvious choice.
But again, he could do both. In other words, if he's got two seasons left, three seasons left, he could mend finishes in Miami. It doesn't mean a championship. Just means a cordial finish and a proper goodbye with Pat Riley publicly and all that stuff. And then go on to Cleveland and finish.
Yeah. No. I understand what you're saying. It just, I don't know what he has to prove with the Miami thing. I see what you're saying, but I don't get what you're saying. Like, he doesn't have to prove anything to anybody.
Well, I don't think he has to prove anything anywhere, though. I mean, he could literally walk away from the game, be done, have billions in the bank, go on and be the LeBron economy that he's going to be. Like, he doesn't have to prove anything anywhere anymore. So whatever's going on is going on within himself, yeah. I would imagine.
I promise school, Cleveland boy, let me do this for the kids. I think it's Cleveland.
I thought Cuno had a very interesting take on this yesterday where he said the least interesting story is Cleveland. I hadn't thought of it that way. And sure, storybook ending, gets to be in front of the hometown team. But he basically said, how is that interesting from like a story perspective? We've seen it already.
Likes interesting.
Right. He likes the idea of him returning to Miami and trying to win another ring for the Miami Heat, or going to Philly, or going to Minnesota, and being the first player to go to four different franchises and somehow find a way to win a ring in four different places, as well as one of the leaders. Like, it was a good point. It was a very good point by Cuno.
Yeah. But he's always been the Cleveland. When he went back to Cleveland, he was the Cleveland guy.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, he likes that image of being the hometown hero. And that's what I think he wants to be, the hometown hero. And that's why I keep calling the bookends. Drafted, left, did his college years. One, went back and won, down 3-1 against Golden State. We know the story. Went to the Lakers, won. Now he goes back to Cleveland to finish it off. It looks like a book. It's cute.
It makes sense, too, in the fact that he could come out and say, The only reason I'm playing basketball still is because I love the game. Mm-hmm. And when I started playing basketball, it was nothing more than I loved the game. And I started in Akron.
Yeah.
And I played because I loved it. There was no money attached to it, you know, till I got to high school and all of a sudden he's on ESPN. But it's like, I just want to play the game that I love. And the way, the place that makes me happiest, just playing the game because I love it, is Cleveland. It's always been Cleveland. And I'll continue to play it in Cleveland until I can't play any longer.
Savannah's from Cleveland. They met in high school. It's just, it makes too much sense to me.
I say all that as well, like when I allude to Brian Windhorst, I also remember LeBron James on Pat McAfee calling Brian Windhorst a weirdo. So, like, I don't know if we should be, and by the way, I love Windy. Genuinely, yeah. Why would he do that? I love now, Windy.
Why would he do that?
But maybe we can stop pretending like everything Brian Windhorst says is this, like, very well-connected source.
Oh, I don't think he's connected anymore to the LeBron camp at all. Yeah. I think he used to be. I don't think he is anymore at all. I think he's just, he's engaging in conjecture the way everyone else is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't even think Max Kellerman knows.
You don't think Rich Paul and Max Kellerman,
nope,
they end their pod?
I think Rich knows.
Rich knows. Kellerman does not. No. I don't think. Like, I specifically go out of my way not to ask Crowder. I mean, I'll ask him who'd you interview on the Pivot and stuff, but I don't ask him for, like, inside info on stuff that they talk about or whatever. Like, he's got a life outside of the radio show, and I try not to infringe on it. And I think that's probably Max Kellerman's take with Rich Paul. Like, he may say to him, hey, if you want to announce it on the pod, it would be good for the pod. But I'm not necessarily certain that Max Kellerman is part of the inner circle at this point.
And I've flexed with Rich Paul's phone number in my phone. You want to think that LeBron is calculated? Rich Paul is calculated. He knows exactly what the assignment is every single time he speaks. So just to your point, I don't think Kellerman knows, but I know Rich Paul knows.
Send him a text, Miami question mark, and just see, like,
you want me to text him Miami question mark.
Miami question
mark. Kellerman. I have Max Kellerman's number. You want me to text that to Kellerman?
Okay. Yeah.
I know I'm not getting a response, but I'll do it.
Who else Miami want me to text
question
that to?
Mark.
Rod Allen?
Yeah, text it to Rod Allen.
Text it to Rod Allen.
Max Kellerman.
I feel so goofy doing this.
I'm not really doing it.
And I'll text it to Brian Scalabrine.
I'm looking at my contact. What if I accidentally send it to Ray Allen?
Send it to Ray Allen.
Ray Allen lives at the golf course here in Miami. He golfs at the Biltmore all the time. And I only know that because of his Instagram. Like, I'm not revealing any secret information. He posts it all the time. He's at the Biltmore golfing. So
you ever look at some of, like, the numbers that you have back to back in your book? I'm just looking through it right now. I have back to back Wally Amos and Jamal Anderson. Now, do you know who Wally Amos is?
Do not know.
Famous Amos, the cookies guy. He's dead now.
Text
I think he's dead. And Jamal Anderson,
dead.
You know him, the Dirty Bird.
You got Aaron Ross, Antonio Bryan, and Abe Elam. Spice Adams, Adrian Tootsies, that's the main. Yeah, I got a weird little list I got.
So do I, man.
Yeah.
Wally Amos has indeed passed away.
Yeah, 2024. Rest in peace.
I have David Arbetter's number. I think he's the owner of Arbetter's Hot Dogs down in Miami.
Text him. Man, I love Arbetter's.
I've never had it.
What?
I've never had Arbetter's.
You've never had Arbetter's?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, Andre Dickens, the mayor of Atlanta.
I've got Andre Dawson.
It's his birthday, the Hawk.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Andre Dawson.
Should I text him happy birthday?
Andy King, Miami, question mark.
I saw Andy the other day.
Hawk, let's do an R Betters date. Let's go to R Betters. You have to have an R Betters right. Hot dog. Genuinely. The best.
I want to get their chili dog.
Their chili dog is great. They always do, like, they have a Mendoza dog right now in honor of Fernando Mendoza. Like, they always do very
it's a legendary Miami spot, and that's the kind of spot that I love.
Yeah.
And I went to UM for 4 years. Like, I don't know why I've never been to R Betters, but yes, I'll go with you.
I've been going there since I was a little kid, and it's the exact same place, same seat, same everything. Like, nothing's changed from when I was a little kid. Love that place.
Can I come?
I'm in. No.
Mm-mm. Aiken Adele. Aiken's ready to come on, guys, whenever y'all need him.
All right. Jimmy, you're back in. Aiken Adele.
Yeah.
All right. The Marlins are going to play the Cleveland Guardians this final weekend before the All-Star break. Tonight's first pitch is at 7:10 p.m. Of course, they did sweep the Mariners yesterday, as Hawk mentioned. They're 10 games above 500. That is only the second time in the last 15 years that they've been 10 games or more above 500 as a ball club.
Especially considering they were almost 10 games under 500 just a month ago.
Yeah.
June was special.
Special. And July's turning out to be as good as June.
Yes, they run it now.
All right, guys, your weather in South Florida right now, it is 92 degrees. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the low 80s. That weather report is brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting, helping homeowners stay safe this storm season. Visit tornadoroofing.com for a free roof and window estimate.
Jack McMullen, our guy, radio play-by-play voice for the Marlins here on WQAM. He's going to join us in the next segment. We will celebrate some Marlins baseball.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Jimmy, you know how to make a hot tea?
No, I do not.
You know the ingredients of tea.
Water.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday at Lone Depot Park, which Solana likes to call the LD, Sunday is Top Gun Hat Day. At the beginning of today's show, someone had put on the chat, hey, I hope they have enough hats for all the fans. You have to have a special ticket. So they will have enough hats for you if you buy the special ticket. If you show up Sunday at Lone Depot Park and think it's the first 15,000 fans who walk in, get a Top Gun hat, you're going to be disappointed. This is a super cool hat. I, once again, am going to lean into Jack McMullen to have him steal me one of the Marlins promo items for a game that I can't be at.
So it's funny enough you say that, man. I have a bit of a grab bag here, and I want to do show and tell because I got to swing by the studio. I need you guys to tell me what you want, and I'll bring it by.
Ooh.
Oh.
That'd be
you ready?
Great.
So I could give you this reversible bucket, right? You got the teal Marlins deal here. You got the reversible to the light blue Marlins
That's
look
sharp.
Here.
That's
sharp. What are these bags called? Is it like a coach bag?
Fanny pack.
Is it a handbag? Yeah, but it's not a fanny pack. I guess you can like wrap it around your
chest. That's called a purse.
Yeah, so do you want a purse?
Yeah. I'll take a purse.
I'll take it.
I call it a merce if I'm using it. It's a man's purse.
Here's the fun one for you guys. Let me know which bobblehead you want because I've got like this little grab bag sitting right under me in the booth here. I've got the Xavier Edwards Psycho bobblehead that we gave away last year. If
Crowder.
One of you guys wants that, this, all right.
That's me.
That's reserved Jack, for Matt. You.
Yeah, that's me.
How about a Jack McKeon bobblehead? You guys want one of these?
Oh, Captain Jack. Let me tell you something before we get into it. Jack McKeon would not have pulled anyone pitching a perfect game in the seventh inning. Jack McKeon would have let someone pitch 800 pitches if they just as an aside, Jack.
How about a Luis Castillo or Jim Leland bobblehead? You guys want either of these?
Oh, I mean, Jim Leland smoking heaters in the dugout. I mean, that was an era.
I'm just saying they're all up for grabs. If you guys want any of these, just shoot me a note and I will I'll swing them by the studio for you.
Marlins are, no joke, doing some of the best giveaways in all of professional sports. They really are. This Marlins Yacht Rock captain's hat that I'm rocking. I'm telling you, the Marlins, but this Top Gun hat that they're doing on Sunday, I haven't seen if that's something that's going across the nation at different ballparks, but man, it is a badass looking hat.
Yeah, I don't think it is. And what's fun is our read was, Marlins fans, do you feel the need the need for baseball.
Need for baseball. Yeah,
the need for baseball, and it was good.
Yeah, it was excellent. By the way, let me bring on Jack McMullen here. Officially, Jack McMullen, voice of the Miami Marlins right here on WQAM, is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Marlins play again tonight. Final three games before the break. They are the hottest team in the league. They are fun. This is shocking, Jack. They were almost 10 games under 500 in May. They go on this tear in June. It's continuing in July. What's going on? Like, this doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. And you know, sometimes you look around the league, like last year, Cleveland, the way that Cleveland made their way back in the AL Central. And the year before that, everybody wanted to talk about bullpen chaos in Detroit and the gritty Tigers and the way that they came back in 2024. There's always one national story about a team that maybe starts slow and then picks it up in the summertime and kind of runs through the tape. And you really hope that it's the Miami Marlins this year. I think the biggest thing that I would tell you is it's very rare for all four facets of a team to be clicking at the same exact time. And when all four facets do click, you are in the business of something very, very special. And you have the opportunity to make this a really special couple of weeks. And chances are you've got the lineup, the bench bats, the rotation, and the bullpen, like all kind of lining up and clicking at the same time for a week or two over the course of a six-month season, 162 games. It's been happening for like 5 weeks now. It's just amazing to watch everything in concert. And it's like, okay, say the offense doesn't put up eight runs in Sacramento. It doesn't hit the ball out of the ballpark five times. Well, you know that Sandy's going to give you a really good start. Or you know that Tyler Phillips is going to give you five scoreless, and he's going to pass the baton to the bullpen that goes four darn near perfect. Like, it's just amazing every single night. There's a different cast of characters that have their fingerprints all over a Marlins win.
And Jack, like you say, like Hawk said it, we're hot. They're a hot team. But it's like they're almost like they're clicking at the right time. But just talent. X and Otto in the middle. You know, the starting lineup's doing their thing. Joe Mack goes back there, and now he's tied for the most throwouts in Major Leagues. Like, this roster is impressive, correct? Like, we're not just getting lucky. We're playing great baseball.
100%. And at some point over the course of a baseball season, hot becomes good. And I think Otto Lopez, like, it took 2.5 months, but at some point in June, Otto Lopez went from the hottest hitter in baseball to one of the best hitters in baseball this year. And Xavier Edwards went from one of the hottest bat-to-ball guys in Major League Baseball to one of the better bat-to-ball guys in Major League Baseball. And Liam Hicks went from one of the hotter RBI guys in baseball to one of the better RBI guys in baseball this year. Like, the transition from hot to legit good is something that, like, happens at different times, I feel like, for different guys, just based on kind of capital that they've built, right? Bryce Harper needs a week. And if Harper's good for a week, it's like, oh, yeah, that's Harper doing Harper things. But a guy like Otto, who has been DFA'd twice, has bounced around a couple of different organizations and is having his breakout year this year, so many people around the country can look at Otto from afar and say, I need to see him do it for longer than a month. Well, we're going on 4 months right now of Otto Lopez. So at this point, he's just a really good star player.
We're always talking about building around certain guys, right? Like finding your pillars and then being able to build around them. I would imagine Otto Lopez is now in that category. I could have made the argument Kyle Stowers was going to be one of the pillars that the Marlins were going to build around coming into this year. Who are the pillars right now? Because it feels like it's Yuri. It feels like it's Sandy. It feels like it's Otto Lopez. But when we hear people say the Marlins are going to be buyers at the deadline, who are the pillars that you know fans should be excited about that they're going to build around?
Solana, I think you just named a lot of them. I'm going to throw you one more name, and it's Mack. I think Joe Mack is absolutely a pillar right now of the franchise. What this guy has done in terms of team identity since his Major League debut is turn them from a team that it was very easy to run against into one of the best teams in baseball in terms of stopping the running game and one of the better defensive teams in Major League Baseball. And oh, by the way, he's hitting at a clip that's above Major League average. So you have an above league average hitter that may be the best defensive catcher in the sport already, And that is a pillar that you build around. That's someone that you build around. So you mentioned Otto. You mentioned Sandy. You mentioned Jurie. I would throw X in there. I would throw Stowers in there. There are so many building blocks for this team, and it's so exciting to watch them go to work every day.
Are you surprised they've been able to do this without Davis and De Los Santos?
A little bit. Davison and Mervis, I'm just thinking. Now, could they be 32-0 over their last 30 if those guys were on the roster?
No, but we've talked about Joe Mack for a while now, but certainly this week, like a lot, he's really on people's radar because it doesn't seem like a flash in the pan. What was he expected to be this? I don't know the whole story of Joe Mack. I don't know where he came from and how he's in the organization. All I know is that dude is lights out.
First round pick a couple of years ago, so they had high expectations. He was a guy that I think everybody knew could be a very, very good defensive catcher in Major League Baseball. Now, I think there's a big difference between being a borderline top five catcher defensively in baseball and being probably the best. Like, what we're seeing from Joe Mack in terms of catching would-be base stealers, he's catching like 40% of guys trying to steal on him, which is the best mark in baseball. Mack has like a month and a half less of baseball under his belt than the other league leaders in caught stealing, but he is at the top of Major League Baseball in caught stealing. And if you pay attention to the league around the country, you know, William Contreras in Milwaukee is really good. You know, Shea Langeliers in Sacramento is really good. And you know, Pat Bailey, who is in San Francisco, he's in Cleveland now, is really good. Mack is already in that conversation, and he has a month and a half less of major league time this year because he was in AAA. The bat was always going to kind of be the big thing. Like, was he going to make enough contact to stick? And early returns are, heck yeah, he will. And he's going to hit the ball out of the ballpark too. And when you have this offense going along with the defense that is as delivered, it's a really special player that I think is doing what a lot of people hoped he would do 3 years down the line right now.
And Stromy was talking about Joe Mack as well. Are we talking about Real Muto? We're talking about Pudge. Like, is he on that level?
We're talking about Johnny Bench.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Are we talking about that guy, Jack?
You know, we always do this, and like I made the joke last year, Nolan McLean was like if Doc Gooden and Tom Seaver had a baby, and Nolan McLean popped out last year based on his first 8 starts with the New York Mets. So like, you know, we do this for a lot of rookies, but defensively, I'm going to say defensively right now, yes. Like what he has shown on a game-by-game basis, we talk about pound-for-pound boxers, right? Like if Tyson and Pacquiao got in the ring, I know who's winning, but like they're pretty equivalent boxers, right? Like Floyd's the best boxer ever, and Floyd is not beating Tyson because Tyson has 100 pounds on him. So like it's a different conversation because Mack's been doing it for 2 months and Realmuto has been doing it for 12 years. But Mack on a game by game basis is impacting the game defensively in a way very similar to Realmuto and to Pudge and to guys like that.
Hey, do you think the All-Star break's coming at the wrong time? Because they're so hot. There's this thought that I have in the back of my head, like 3 more games and then all of a sudden a week off and who knows what's going to happen when they come back.
Steven made that joke last night as we were wrapping up postgame. He was like, I don't want to take 4 days off. I was like, I don't think I do either. I think for everybody's mental well-being, it's going to be good to take 4 days off. But I mean, you hope it doesn't kind of stymie the hot stretch right now. And it's a tough test in Cleveland coming in, too. Like, baseball is unique because you ride this high, and it's been going for 6 weeks right now for the Marlins. But at the end of the day, you got another ball game tonight, and you got a lefty with a really good changeup, and Cleveland is a pesky team. Like, you take it day by day. It's every single day you show up, and the day's brand new. So keeping that daily perspective is good. I wish I could say, like, yeah, you know what, let's put a pin in the All-Star break and like push it a month and a half down the line and we'll use it.
Right. If they voted in the clubhouse, if they voted in the Marlins clubhouse, they would vote to delay it a month.
We are opting out of the All-Star break. Yeah.
We're playing whoever shows up at the LD.
Yes.
Anyway, what a fun ride this has been. The clubhouse, I'm guessing the guys are enjoying this. Like I'm curious what it's like being around them during this 5-6 week span.
It's cool because these guys are all like kind of so rooted in their daily work where you know, they'll smile and say, yeah, life is good, but nobody concretely feels like they're on top of the world right now, I don't think. Everybody's just so rooted in, this is awesome, let's keep this thing going. But, you know, Griffin Conine told Steven yesterday on our post-game interview, he's like, I played college ball, I played minor league baseball, major league baseball. This is far and away the hottest team that he's ever been on. And he's 29 years old. He's played a whole bunch of baseball in his life. And at any level, it's happening at the major league level right now for him and for them. So, yeah, I mean, I think that they are certainly like kind of riding this high and they're really happy and they're excited to show up to the ballpark every single day. But it's not like they're in there hooting and hollering saying like, oh, you know what, we're just going to roll the ball out and play. They're still doing their work. And they believe that like the 6 hours leading up to the game every single night is what has gotten them to this point.
I tell you too, just yeah. Watching it on TV, a midweek series against Seattle, I thought there was a decent crowd there every night. Maybe yeah. Not great on Tuesday, but and I know this weekend, because it's the weekend, it's going to be, I think, a huge attendance. But I thought that midweek against Seattle, a team that's not, I mean, you know, it's not like there's a rivalry built in. I thought there was right. Good energy at Lone Depot Park.
100%, man, and I'll tell you what, all the fans that are here, they've been bringing the juice, and it's fun, and it's great to see this fan base kind of rallying around this group of guys, because frankly, like, this group of guys deserves it. They play their butts off every single night. It's constant energy, and they radiate positivity, too. It's a joy, and yeah, I'm with you, good crowds, hoping for three more good crowds over the weekend, and Marlins.com/tickets, that's your plug right there.
Get your tickets, and get the Sunday ticket with the Top Gun hat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Jack, with McCullough was getting in, we've been talking about it, criticized for pulling Jury, potential perfect game and all that, but what part has he had in this run, going from 10 games under 500 to 10 games over 400 as a manager?
Yeah, steadying presence in the clubhouse. This is a guy that is relentlessly positive and relentlessly kind of steady, where the highs are never too high and the lows are never too low. You probably don't want your manager riding the roller coaster, right? Like, you want your manager to be the guy where it's like, let's keep this in check here. Let's make sure we're getting our work done and making sure everything's happening. So that's kind of like the vibe curation that Clayton McCullough's been doing right now, is just making sure there's a steadiness, but also a constant positivity. But in terms of in-game decision-making, he's pushing all the right buttons. I mean, we've watched 6 weeks of him deploying Michael Peterson at the right time with the bases loaded in the sixth and then nobody coming in when he comes on with nobody gone. So it just seems like he is pushing every single right button. How many times have we seen Burt just annihilate a baseball at a pinch hit plate appearance? Like, he's moving the chess pieces around the board in a way that very few managers in Major League Baseball can do. And Alex Cora got a lot of credit for doing that in Boston for a while. There are very few managers that get legit credit for moving the chess pieces on the board in the right way over the course of a game. I think Clayton is proving that he's a really good in-game manager.
Except for the Jury performance.
Agree to disagree on that.
I was throwing you at Hawk.
But they did have an 8-0 lead, end up winning like 9-8 or whatever.
The context of the hammy matters, man.
You can't say that decision went flawlessly.
The context of the hammy matters.
And I take issue with Crowder saying a potential perfect game. Jury had a perfect game. He was going to finish with a perfect game. And I believe he would have finished with a perfect game on 98 pitches. How about that? I think it was going to be three pitches in the eighth and the ninth.
Six
each.
More the rest of the
That's
way.
Right.
It's like the number of how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. I guess we'll never know.
One, two, three. Ribierto Hernandez, your favorite athlete, Ribierto of all time?
Yeah, I think so. At some point, you're going to get this right. Ariberto.
Whatever.
Get it. Yeah, just say it five times fast.
What'd you call him?
Ribierto.
Ribierto.
What's the spicy marinara in arrabbiata? Like, that's kind of what that sounded like there.
That's right. I mean, they should put a dish down there, the concession stands for him. Arrabbiata Hernandez pasta. Have a good broadcast tonight, Jack.
Appreciate you guys.
You can listen to Jack McMullen all weekend long. Three games left before the All-Star break. You'll hear him here on 104.3 FM WQAM. We're pitching a perfect game today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman, Crowder, and Solana.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
There's no crying in baseball.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.